Welcome to Open Spaces. From Wyoming Public Radio News, I'm Camila Kodalska. Today's show is all about data centers. We're airing our partner Mountain West News Bureau's series of stories focused on the topic. We'll dive into concerns about water supplies.
Everybody's only focused on what's going to happen this year and the next 2-3 years, and that's just not far enough to think.
Plus, why one company thinks a remote cattle ranch near Evanston is an ideal spot for a data center.
We sit right in the middle of all of this renewable energy infrastructure.
The Trump administration is looking to coal to meet the daunting power demand for AI, but
we're starting to hear a little more talk of a bubble around AI. If that pops, what would the administration say? Would it pivot from coal?
Plus, we'll hear from the vice president of a data center being built in Cheyenne. Stay with us. This is Open Spaces.
It can be hard to keep track of the news, but Wyoming Public Radio just made it a little easier. Now you can follow us on Apple News to get the latest stories from Wyoming right in the palm of your hand. Plus, you can get an audio roundup of daily local news in under 10 minutes with our new podcast. Check out Wyoming Debrief, a morning habit that pairs perfectly with your cup of coffee.
Welcome to our Open Spaces Data Center Edition. From Wyoming Public Radio News, I'm Camila Kodalska. Artificial intelligence is increasingly creeping into our lives, and in support of that super technology, nondescript data centers are popping up in cities, towns, and even near cattle ranches. Data centers are economic drivers, but also bring with them big questions about energy and water use and pollution. The Mountain West News Bureau recently dove into all these questions in its Wired, Wired West series, which we'll hear today, as well as some of our own reporting. But first, here with me to talk about that series is Wyoming Public Radio's Bureau reporter, Hannah Merzbach. Hey, Hannah.
Hey, Camila.
So tell me, why did the Bureau decide to dive into data centers?
Yeah, so we have reporters all across the region, so we're really uniquely positioned to take this on. The Mountain West is becoming a hub for data center development alongside places like Texas and Virginia. Here in the West, we have lots of land and natural resources and, you know, in places like Wyoming, fewer regulations and taxes. Plus, this is only going to become a bigger story. Energy demand is expected to triple nationwide in the next 3 years. And the Department of Energy estimates data centers will account for 12% of that. That's triple what it used in 2023.
Wow. So why are we talking about this now?
Yeah, data centers have been around for a long time, but they've been kind of flying under the radar. They're just getting bigger and exploding all across the country. More and more people are using AI in their search engines and things like ChatGPT. Data centers are kind of like the nervous system that supports the brains of artificial intelligence. So now we have these new massive data centers or hyperscalers, and they require a lot more energy and water. The Mountain West News Bureau, we got curious about the impacts on the environment and how these things will all be powered.
Yeah, and that seems to be a common question. Even here in Wyoming, we've heard a lot of concerns from people at our coffee and conversation events about how these data centers popping up around Wyoming will use energy and water. So tell me the cliff notes. How will these be powered?
So the vast majority will run on fossil fuels. We'll hear in Arizona how the largest utility in the state is building a new pipeline to bring in natural gas from Texas, all because of data center demand. Centers in Wyoming are also opting to rely on gas. They say it's readily available and reliable. The Petroleum Association of Wyoming told me this is good news for Wyoming's gas industry, since we have such a big supply of gas.
We've been far away from places like Las Vegas or Los Angeles or, you know, population centers that need it.
Here's Pete Obermuller with the association.
Well, now with these hyperscale, AI data centers, we're talking about power demands that rival full cities and right here close, you know, for us in terms of having a customer to sell Wyoming gas. It's really good news.
We'll also hear shortly how many companies say they want to rely on renewables too, like wind and solar. But they also say they're too intermittent to provide the base load for these centers. You know, it gets dark at night, so you can't always use solar, or it's not always windy. And these data centers need to be powered 24/7, 365 days a year. Some energy researchers I talked to say big batteries have solved that problem. But companies also say those are expensive. A lot of centers also eventually want to switch from natural gas to small modular nuclear reactors, like ones being developed at Idaho National Lab. But those are still a ways off from coming to the market.
Got it. So how did the Mountain West News Bureau divide all these topics up for the series?
Yeah, so first we had a reporter over in Phoenix. He dove into how AI's need for power is creating problems for electric companies. Then over in Reno, our Mountain West reporter over there looked into concerns about water use, since large amounts of water are used for cooling these centers. A reporter in Denver looked more into community concerns. That story takes place in one of the most polluted zip codes in the country, where there's a lot of concerns that a data center could create even more pollution. Then my story looks into how some data centers want to use less energy and water, but how it's pretty hard to go green.
All right, so let's give your story a listen.
Stocky black cows graze amid yellow flowers in southwest Wyoming. The rolling foothills could soon be home to a massive new AI data center from the company Prometheus Hyperscale.
I spent most of my summers in Wyoming riding north of the interstate here, moving cattle.
That's Prometheus founder Trenton Thornock. His family has ranched this land for six generations. He left for a career in finance, but now he has a new way to make money here, building data centers in the Wild West. And he's also finding ways to power them.
So right here, we're measuring the amount of sunlight that we get during the day.
He points to a weather station. It's finding the best angle for solar panels for potential big tech customers like Google and Meta.
And if you look this way along the ridgeline, you'll see a big row of wind turbines. We sit right in the middle of all of this renewable energy infrastructure.
Sustainable infrastructure for the age of AI is Prometheus's tagline. But sustainability isn't simple at the company's flagship center. It'll produce all its own power, recycle its water, use efficient cooling systems, and even use heat from whirring servers to grow microgreens and farm shrimp. And Thornock says all that still won't be enough.
You've got gas pipelines on both sides for natural gas generation.
The bulk of its energy, at least for now, is slated to come from fossil fuels, natural gas, which is abundant in Wyoming. In the long run, Thornock wants to transition to small modular reactors, mini nuclear plants, but the tech is still a ways off. So why not turn to wind and solar to fill the gap? Prometheus says it's expensive.
You know, a 1,000-megawatt wind farm does not provide the same capacity as a 1,000-megawatt coal plant or natural gas plant.
Mary Throne is a lawyer for Prometheus and former lawmaker. She questions the reliability of renewable energy for data centers. Some need as much power as a small city.
We really need to be more forward-thinking and more open to taking advantage of all sources of energy. Technology is our friend.
Technology like carbon capture. That's how Prometheus plans to achieve net zero. Since it plans to use natural gas, it'll offset the impact by paying another company to transport liquid CO2 from ethanol plants in the Midwest to Wyoming, then inject it into the ground about 60 miles from the data center. But Amory Lovin says this isn't very high-quality sustainability. The Stanford professor is the founder of the nonprofit Rocky Mountain Institute.
It sounds like a pretty sketchy model.
He sits in what looks like a jungle, a solar banana farm in his Aspen, Colorado living room. Lovin says carbon capture data isn't always trustworthy, though Prometheus says its credits will be third-party certified.
It's a lot more straightforward to make your own clean power on site.
But Thornock says Prometheus will still build the first net zero data center. He gets in his car. He says he sees himself as a steward of the sagebrush-covered land.
We've been here for generations.
The name Prometheus comes from Greek mythology. It means foresight.
We hope to be here for many more generations. And my nephews and nieces will someday inherit the ranch.
Although they may find themselves to be data wranglers rather than cowboys in the decades to come. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Merzbach in Southwest Wyoming.
So, Hannah, there was a lot of information in there. I imagine there was a lot you were unable to include.
Yeah, I decided to really focus on the energy and carbon emissions part of everything, and I really skipped over a couple things. So, first off, you know, this is a pretty unique case in that most AI data centers rely on power grids. That's why people are so concerned about them sucking up all the power and creating problems. The plan for Prometheus's data center near Evanston is to operate as what's called an island. So they're securing all their own power, hence the natural gas. This is a potential solution to take stress off the grid and kind of like alleviate some of those community concerns. But it's also really hard to just like secure all your own power, especially in rural areas like this, where sometimes there isn't already all that energy infrastructure around. Prometheus got kind of lucky in that they actually have some of this natural gas infrastructure already. Also, operating as an island can make it kind of hard to rely on renewables because you're the one paying that cost.
Interesting. What else did you not include?
Okay, yeah. So the other interesting thing this company is doing is how they're dealing with their cooling system. We'll hear soon about concerns about water use. So cooling these servers and data centers requires a lot of water. And Prometheus is trying to solve that problem. They're recycling all of its water. They say they're going to consume zero water by using a form of liquid cooling. So that can look like a lot of different things, but in this case, they're going to basically drill a really deep well, so like 1,000 feet. They're going to reach this really deep aquifer that's like deeper than the ones the ranchers are relying on. Then they're going to pull up the water from there, circulate it through the building to cool off those servers. And then this actually heats the water up, so you want to take the heat out of it somehow. So that's where this greenhouse comes in. They're going to use that water to heat a greenhouse, growing microgreens and farming shrimp. That strips the heat back out of the water. And then you can either put that water back into the ground or keep circulating it throughout the building. So having this kind of like closed loop water system. This can be kind of expensive up front, but this helps the building run a lot more efficiently in the long run. So Prometheus thinks it's worth it. They're also very concerned about not wanting to take water away from the local ranchers, so they think this is a good solution. This is becoming an increasingly popular model with data centers because those concerns are intensifying about water supply. This is also one of my favorite things to talk about because I'm excited to one day go back and see this actual shrimp farming in action. That won't happen until at least the end of 2027 when this place is actually operational, if even then.
Well, I'm excited to hear this shrimp farming story. Thanks for coming on, Hannah. I'm excited to hear all the other stories.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Next up, we hear more about data centers and water, this time in Reno, one of the driest areas in the nation. This is Open Spaces.
This time on the Modern West. You've probably seen viral videos on social media about how quaint it is to live an off-grid life. But is it really?
Alpine Ranches, when we first started looking at it, was the Wild West. Literally, people would get in gunfights out there.
The Reluctant Pioneers. It's episode one of our series, Cheap Dirt. Find it under podcasts at wyomingpublicmedia.org, sponsored by the Equality State Policy Center.
Welcome back to Open Spaces. Just east of Reno, Nevada, sits what some say is the largest support system for AI on Earth. It's a data center hub that's going to be about 1.5 times larger than the city next door. It's in the nation's driest state, but will use a lot of water. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radel has this story.
Directions to 2555 USA Parkway.
Brian Armin, a commercial real estate broker, is driving to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, which rises from the sagebrush like a pop-up book.
The building that you see up on the hill there, that's Vantage Data Center's Edge Core. That's a data center that's under construction.
Flat roof buildings stretch against brown hills. Cranes and excavators stand still like toys.
This is Google's data center. Over here, kind of the nondescript concrete building.
Here, global tech giants are racing to turn desert land into the backbone of the internet.
So this piece right here was recently acquired by Microsoft. It's about 226 acres.
It checks all the boxes for data centers. Plenty of land and few natural disasters.
We've had a massive amount of data centers that have shown up and more that are looking.
Not just in northern Nevada, but across the Mountain West. Data centers are starting to spark public outrage at meetings, from Las Cruces, New Mexico, to Tucson, Arizona. And the Sierra Club has challenged the first approved project within Reno city limits. The concern? Water. Data center servers generate a lot of heat, and many use huge amounts of water for cooling. Stanford hydrologist Nusha Ajami says they're like thirsty crops, but permanent.
You have to continuously water them, right? So it doesn't provide that flexibility that's needed, especially during dry or drought periods.
A 2024 federal report found that U.S. data centers use 17 billion gallons of water. That's enough to supply 150,000 homes for a year. That's still only a fraction of what American farmers use. But data centers' water demand is projected to double or even quadruple within the next few years. This comes as climate change threatens water supplies with rising temperatures and deeper droughts, says Sean McKenna, a scientist at the Desert Research Institute.
And that's not good because snow is like our water tower, right? That's how we store that moisture for later in the year.
Today, about 75% of the Mountain West is in drought. In Nevada, over half its groundwater basins are also overallocated, more water on paper than exists underground. The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center's water district holds rights to more than 4 billion gallons a year, mostly groundwater and treated wastewater, says General Manager Sherry Whalen.
Yeah, so this is one of our 8 groundwater wells, and this is one of our most productive groundwater wells.
And she says all new projects built here have to consider water use.
Our plan is not to bring water in from anywhere else. Our plan is to fully and responsibly utilize the resources we have.
The district says it doesn't use city drinking water, but when needed, it can draw up to 325 million gallons a year from the Truckee River. It's the region's main water source, spilling from Lake Tahoe, through Reno, across the desert, and into Pyramid Lake, home of the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe, which has about 1,300 members living on the reservation.
Every drop that's pulled out of the river is exactly that. That's a drop that doesn't make it to Pyramid Lake.
Tribal Chairman Stephen Wadsworth says this lake is far more than water.
This is why we get up every morning. You know, Pyramid Lake, our traditional name, Kui'ui Tekuta, which means fish eater. That's who we are as a people.
That's why they fought the business park's plans to pump more groundwater. In 2019, Nevada regulators sided with the tribe, another chapter in their fight to protect their lake.
Everybody's only focused on what's going to happen this year and the next 2-3 years, and that's just not far enough to think.
Nevada already has about 60 data centers, with a dozen more planned over the next decade. And some of those could tap into the river that feeds Pyramid Lake. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
Anytime you punch a question into ChatGPT or even just Google something, the results bounce back from a data center. The facilities are popping up across the Mountain West to power the AI boom. That includes a North Denver neighborhood already struggling with poor air quality. Now some worry the project will make the problem worse. Sam Brash reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
Yesenia Reyes is the sort of teenager who loves giving small gifts. On a warm fall evening, she's screwing a bedazzled license plate cover on her grandma's SUV outside their apartment building.
I bought them off of Shein. They were just, like, they were only $20.
Mitski Reyes, Yesenia's grandma, supervises over her shoulder. They live in Vina Apartments, an affordable housing project in Denver's Elyria-Swansea neighborhood. Across the street is a construction site for a massive new data center.
Tight quarters, huh? I don't know why they would do that, but it's beyond our control, right?
The project is a major investment for CoreSight, a Denver-based data center firm. It'll eventually include three buildings packed with servers, computing power for cloud-based software or new AI tools. But Yesenia isn't sure it belongs in her neighborhood.
I wouldn't think it would be here. I would think it maybe happened somewhere else, maybe somewhere more open land.
And less industry. The largely Spanish-speaking neighborhood is surrounded by highways, an oil and gas refinery, and a notoriously stinky dog food factory. That's why some residents are concerned about a giant new data center, and not just because it'll eat up massive amounts of electricity and water. They're also worried it'll make the air quality even worse.
Especially when this community has over and over and over in the past, for lack of a better word, been taken advantage of.
Dr. Pam Valenza is the medical director for Tepeyac Community Health Center, a low-income health clinic just a block from the construction site. She only realized it'd be a data center a few months ago.
I think I found out through a social media post. It wasn't even through our organization.
Since then, she's pored through articles about data centers and public health. That's how she realized that many facilities have backup diesel generators to continue operating during blackouts. And the CoreSight project will have 14 of them. And diesel exhaust is dirty, packed with soot and other dangerous gases.
We really don't know what the full impact of having a data center next to the clinic or in a highly dense area has on the community.
And some researchers think there's cause for concern. A recent study estimated the air quality impact of the AI boom. It found pollution linked to data centers, meaning backup generators and additional generation at fossil fuel power plants, could exacerbate conditions like asthma and cancer, leading to as many as 1,300 more premature deaths per year by 2030. CoreSight agreed to answer questions, but only over email. A spokesperson said the company chose the location since it was zoned for industrial use and it's close to future AI users in Denver. She also said that it would rarely run its diesel backup generators. Meanwhile, the company promises the project will create 75 permanent jobs and hundreds of millions of dollars in property taxes. But that doesn't do much for people living nearby, says Anna Varela, an organizer with the GES Coalition, a neighborhood advocacy group.
I just think that this community deserves so much more. And we deserve to be treated like any other gorgeous, historic neighborhood in Denver.
Varela says there should have been more outreach before the project was approved. Since it's now under construction, she hopes the company at least installs air quality monitors outside.
So that our neighborhoods can know exactly what toxins and pollutants they are emitting.
And so other communities get an idea of what it means to have a data center next door. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Sam Brash.
Power. A lot of it is going to be needed for the AI revolution. But what type and how? We learn more on Open Spaces. Stay with us.
Want to keep up with local news but can't have your radio on 24/7? That's where Wyoming Public Radio's email newsletters come in. Get all of the local and regional news you want in your inbox. You can choose if you want an update every day or a weekly roundup of our top stories, or both. Sign up on our website, wyomingpublicmedia.org.
Welcome back to our Data Center Open Spaces special. From Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Camila Kadelska. data centers require lots of power, creating new challenges for utilities. Greg Hawney for the Mountain West News Bureau has this story.
The largest utility in Arizona has a problem. It needs more energy.
It's hard in the world we live in today to live without electricity.
Johnny Penrod works for Arizona Public Service, and the buzzing sound from this power plant in the Phoenix suburb of Tempe is relatively quiet. But if the power turbines were on, we wouldn't be able to talk.
Basically, like a 737 jet engine is what it is.
Demand for power in Arizona is expected to keep rising, and meeting that demand can mean life or death in the desert, where temperatures stay above 110 degrees in the summer.
Here, we can do something to make sure we keep the lights on for our customers.
And to keep the air conditioners running. So the utility has turned to a pipeline company to bring in more natural gas from Texas. The state's rising population is driving the need for more power, but data centers, including the ones AI relies on, need more power too.
And I think natural gas is going to play that part.
Kevin Thompson is chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission, which regulates utilities. Renewables, including solar, are a part of the utility's portfolio, but not as reliable at all times. So data centers raise an immediate issue.
It's going to take more generation. It's going to take dispatchable, reliable generation that can be dispatched at nighttime.
The Department of Energy estimates the demand from data centers could nearly triple in the next 3 years. Nationally, they could use 12% of all energy. The Trump administration's energy secretary, Chris Wright, spoke about meeting that skyrocketing demand recently with the Council on Foreign Relations.
With this abundant source of natural gas, that's what's going to power our data centers.
The National Renewable Energy Laboratory tracks data centers, and their map shows some of the major hotspots in the Mountain West, from Wyoming to Colorado, Utah to Nevada, and of course Arizona, where driverless taxis are an increasingly common sight.
Steve broke the printer again.
Tom Maples pages through notes at the DPR construction office. He's a project manager with the company, which builds data centers. One of the latest projects was for Meta in another Phoenix suburb.
It's really growing very fast in Arizona and around the country, more so in the last 2 years.
Maples says building energy-efficient centers is just good business, but many will still contend with high utility bills.
As AI has come on, there's a lot more electricity being consumed.
Amid this unprecedented demand, some major utilities have slowed their transitions to renewables. Arizona Public Service is among them. It ended its goal to be carbon neutral by 2050. Some are concerned the demand is pushing residential bills up, like Abhay Padgankar, a consumer advocate. He argues that Arizona Public Service is trying to serve too many new data centers.
They don't have the capacity for it.
The utility says it's more complicated than that, though. Still, residential bills jumped about 8% last year.
We as residential customers are doing the right things by conserving energy, by installing solar, by buying energy-efficient appliances. We're doing all the right things.
As data centers grow, so will the demands for more power from the utility, which helps explain why it's moving ahead with the natural gas pipeline. Johnny Penrod says the utility aims to produce enough power for everyone.
Basically to keep people safe, right? I mean, it really is. Keeping the lights on is so important for everybody.
Including the data centers. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Greg Hawney.
The Trump administration has a new slogan for the energy industry.
Everybody likes to say, drill, baby, drill. I know that President Trump's got another initiative for us, and that's mine, baby, mine.
The administration says to power the future of AI, it's looking to coal. And that's big for Wyoming, as it's the country's largest producer. But others warn that this will cost Americans more on their electrical bills and threaten their land, water, and air. Reporter Jake Balster is tracking this issue closely. He writes for the online publication Inside Climate News. He speaks with Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan.
Jake, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a treat.
Yeah, so it's possible many of our listeners have read your content. We publish it from time to time on our website. Tell us just in general a little bit about your reporting and your interest in Wyoming.
So I cover Wyoming and some of the neighboring states for a place called Inside Climate News. We're an online publication that covers climate change and the environment across the United States. And as I've done this reporting over the last 2 years, one thing that's really stood out about Wyoming is it kind of has almost every major pillar of the climate crisis at play in the state. You've got these vast, for the most part, intact ecosystems that people really want to protect, but you also have a lot of heavy industry activity with coal, oil, gas. There's renewable energy potential. There are two tribes, sovereign nations within the state's borders that have some of their own policies.
So the story of yours we're focusing on today is how the administration is deregulating coal to invest into powering AI and data centers, potentially. There was a press conference in late September where there were several top Wyoming officials. There were even coal miners in hard hats standing behind Secretary of the Department of Interior Doug Burgum. And they talked about this AI arms race.
We're in a competition, and that competition for the AI arms race, as we call it, is with China. China, absolutely the number one user of coal, and they are aggressively adding more power. Our nation can lead in technology, but if we don't lead in electrical production, we're going to lose the AI arms race.
Jake, the first few words in your story were striking to me. You wrote, "The U.S. announced its intention to compete for a 21st century technology using 19th century energy." Break that down for us.
You know, Burgum spoke quite a bit about how China is adding a ton of energy and really driving home its AI capabilities. You know, it struck me that there was all this talk about AI being the technology of the future, and yet this administration is pivoting towards technology from the 1800s. To power this next gen AI. When I think most people, if you ask them to describe next gen energy technology, would probably point to wind, solar, batteries, maybe even nuclear.
Tell us a little bit about what they announced in trying to kind of prop up coal.
The administration said it was making 13 million acres of public land available for new coal leases. It was cutting the royalty rate that coal companies pay to mine that coal. It was making hundreds of millions of dollars available to coal companies to retrofit their plants with various technologies that could make the plants more competitive. And then there were also a slew of deregulatory actions that the EPA announced that are meant to essentially remove some environmental safeguards on coal-fired power plants.
I'm curious, Jake, why do you think the administration thinks they need to revitalize coal? Give us a quick look back at the coal industry history. It's been on the decline for like 15 years. If we're even just looking at this fall, the federal government announced a coal lease sale in Wyoming, and it ultimately didn't even happen. It seemingly there wasn't a lot of demand. What's going on here?
The first thing that most insiders would point you to is the rise of natural gas. On top of that, renewable energy has made up a growing share of the market for the last few years. It is even cheaper than natural gas and does not carry the same pollution concerns as either coal or gas. All of that sort of positioned coal in this market where people are viewing it as a declining resource. And then the last thing is the pollution part of the equation with coal. It is essentially flammable mineral that when you burn it, it releases greenhouse gases. And those greenhouse gases have been shown to warm the planet, and that is leading to rising sea levels, worse wildfires, and rising temperatures.
Just to touch on that AI component, I mean, we are anticipating needing to put a lot more power and electricity into the grid to support these AI data centers. And so it sounds like the disagreement is what is going to be that source of power. An argument I hear, especially from the Trump administration, is that if they put more federal subsidies, that the market preferences will shift and electricity providers will find more affordable ways to bring coal to the market. But, you know, in my reporting, I've spoken to one of the main electricity providers in Wyoming, and they're still planning to stop burning coal at one of their power plants here in Wyoming at the end of this year. And that simply because they said coal is more expensive. What are you hearing, Jake?
I'm hearing a lot of the same things, Caitlin. Had someone who studies energy markets tell me that even if this administration is successful in undoing some regulations, a new administration could come in and reimpose those regulations. And so there is still a cloud of uncertainty that these companies are dealing with. That's going to be reflected in their behavior. And I think one place that you can see this is, you brought up earlier that the coal auction in Wyoming has been postponed. That happened after a similar one in Montana drew only one bid, and it was a very low bid. And so you're seeing even the industry for whom all of these regulations are designed for, they're not coveting a new mine and a vast, great big expansion that would match the rhetoric of the administration.
So when we're looking at other countries that are preparing for a demand for more power, I mean, what are some of the solutions they're looking at?
China is the global leader in wind and solar capacity added. They are also adding a lot of coal, that is true, but they are adding far more renewable energy. But as you survey the other options, wind, solar, nuclear, even certainly batteries, these are all technologies that I think people are viewing as the way forward. And right now, the United States, or at least the administration, is signaling that it wants to preserve something that worked several decades ago for us.
Jake, I'm curious, what do you think we'll be telling in the coming months or years?
I'm going to be looking at more of these auctions for sure.
Like so the the coal lease auctions.
That's right, yes. Because I think that's really an indication of what the industry is willing to bet on itself. Another thing to keep an eye on is utilities, how they get their energy, and power bills. If what my sources are saying bears out that wind and solar are cheaper ways to go and utilities that don't invest in those will have higher bills. But if it's not, if that storyline doesn't bear out, you know, that's worth looking into as well. And then the last piece of all of this is the AI growth. For there to be a massive demand increase for electricity, there needs to be tons and tons of new data centers that come online. For that to happen, companies need to be certain that AI is going to be profitable for them. And right now, you know, you're starting to hear a little more talk of a bubble around AI. If that pops, what would the administration say? Would it pivot from coal? Without this demand, is there a reason to get back into coal? You know, these are all questions that we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
We'll be looking forward to your reporting. Jake Bolster is the Wyoming and Western reporter for Inside Climate News. We'll link to his reporting on our website, wyomingpublicmedia.org.
Next, we head to Cheyenne and hear from the vice president of one of the data centers being built there. This is Open Spaces.
Hi, I'm Grady Kirkpatrick, inviting you to join me for Wyoming Sounds. Along with your favorites, you'll discover plenty of new music. We bring you NPR news updates, weather, and we'll let you know about events happening around Wyoming. Wyoming Sounds from 9 to noon on Wyoming Public Radio and 24/7 online at wyomingsounds.org.
Welcome back to Open Spaces. Cheyenne is becoming a hub for data centers in the state. Microsoft and Meta have a presence in the capital, and Related Digital recently entered the scene. The company's CEO, the Cheyenne mayor, and Governor Gordon put shovels in the ground, celebrating the announcement of a $1.2 billion data center. CoreWeave, an AI and cloud computing company, will be the first customer to use the center's services. But it poses a lot of similar questions to what we've heard throughout the show for Cheyenne residents. Wyoming Public Radio's Jordan Uplinger spoke to Colin Selvin. He's the senior vice president of Related Digital.
Your company is using something called self-contained cooling systems, which your company claims will use only 6 bathrooms worth of water. Can you clarify what a self-contained cooling system is?
you know, we understood the value of local natural resources in Wyoming. So we're doing something different, right? We're using high efficiency air-cooled chillers with a closed loop system. There is nominal water consumption on a daily basis, right? And that is mainly for what we call domestic uses. So restrooms, pantries, sinks, some humidity control. And given, you know, the employees that we're going to have in this first building in Cheyenne, we kind of equate this to, you know, roughly like a 40-person office. The water usage is pretty minimal, which drives efficiencies and also, you know, preserves natural resources that are, you know, obviously of great importance to local residents.
I imagine the trade-off is, you know, the fans have to spin a little bit more. There's a lot more energy going into a cooling system than there is a water system. And does that mean that you'll have to provide a little bit more energy? Is that the trade-off?
Yeah, I think high level, it's probably a fair characterization that there might be a little bit more energy consumed with the facility. I think one thing that is important to know, right, is that this technology, one, it's very proven. It's been around for decades, and it's really becoming common practice within the data center industry. And also from, you know, an electricity tax revenue standpoint, are far beneficial for the local community and the state using this air-cooled closed-loop system.
On the energy front, your goal right now is to supply CoreWeave with 88 megawatts of power, eventually scale that up to 302 megawatts. Can you describe the primary source of power for your data center?
Our power is going to be from the grid. We are not doing behind-the-meter generation. Black Hills Energy is our utility provider, as they are for Cheyenne. Obviously, there's no denying that data centers are large consumers of power. But what Black Hills has done, they have a regulated and frankly pretty innovative large power contract service tariff, which is specific for large consumers of power. And this tariff enables them to serve data centers with no cost impact to local retail customers.
There was an air quality application for 51 diesel-fired emergency engines. Could you clarify if those are primarily going to be used as just backup generators, emergency scenarios, or if they're going to be used to kind of offset electricity cost and use of the grid they're connected to?
In our case, the generators are purely for backup purposes. We are not necessarily in the business of hedging electricity prices and using generators to offset when rates are higher. So all of our power will be coming, you know, from Black Hills, from the grid. And it's only in the event that the grid is unable to provide power to the site that we would look to turn on those generators in an emergency scenario. And we've worked, you know, closely with the Department of Environmental Quality with DEQ to ensure that those generators are in compliance with all, you know, state provisions, you know, governing the use of that type of equipment.
Initially, your company projects 700 construction jobs and 40 permanent jobs. Data centers are created to be somewhat sterile, clean, calm environments, from my understanding. So it makes sense that you don't want thousands of people running through the halls of a data center. But 40 people, is that the minimum number needed to successfully run a data center?
So a lot of the jobs, you know, are well-paying engineering and technical roles. And then you'll also have some people who are staffed more on the administrative side to help the building run and other functions like accounting and finance and whatnot. And so it's less about specific cost savings. It's really more about what is going to make this building run and perform as efficiently and as optimally as possible.
Are there incentives or conditions Wyoming offers or perhaps offered your company that attracted you to make a 15 plus year investment like this?
The only incentive that we have received or are receiving currently is that Wyoming, since I believe about 2012, if not earlier, has a sales tax exemption applied to data center equipment. And that's something that I would say probably over 30 states have at this point. And it is an incredible tool that makes it easier for a lot of these customers or developers to enter into a new market and contribute to the local economy. I think if you look at states that do not have that exemption, there are far fewer data centers, if any, that have been built in those jurisdictions.
So when you build a data center like this and you think 20 years down the road, what outcome would get, let's just say, the people here in Cheyenne to say, oh yeah, that data center was worth the investment?
So I think it's less about what is exactly coming out of a data center itself. It is, what does the investment that we're making, that CoreWeave is making, that other customers already in Cheyenne or coming to Cheyenne are making in the local community? This is an incredible new base of revenue for local jurisdictions and the state as a whole, right? Whether it is, you know, another company that has improved a road in the Cheyenne Business Parkway or completed part of the Greenway, right? Or in our case, who has provided a donation to build more affordable housing in Cheyenne when we specifically heard that there's a need and a dire shortage in Cheyenne for affordable homes. And so I think you have the tax revenue, which is the more clear economic component, but then you have a little bit of those more intangible elements that are perhaps harder to quantify, but maybe you can qualify them a bit, right? That really improves a community. And I think hopefully demonstrates to a community that these corporations, as big as they are, you know, care about the local environment and the growth of those local communities.
I think if I was to say that, well, a data center kind of operates and then puts money back into the community, that's the benefit. People might say, well, you know, the state of Wyoming has money, the federal government has money. We could have paid for this ourselves. Why do we need a company to come in and pay for them? And so while the benefits might be a positive that the state is getting money, the city is getting money, I think people still might just want to know what will the data center produce that Wyoming can say, like, you know, made here at home?
No. It's a good question. In some ways, it's a little less tangible. But at the end of the day, right, a data center, it's full of computers and servers, right? And they process and store data that you and I and your listeners and frankly, everyone with a TV or a computer, you know, or a smartphone ultimately use, right? And so as our society just becomes so much more technologically connected and has a growing reliance on information, right? That's where these data centers really come in to play. And so, you know, I think one way to look at it is, you know, by having data centers in your community, you are, you know, the data centers are producing the ability for individual companies and individuals themselves to be connected, to get access to information on their phone more clearly or faster than they otherwise would. And so I think that's like kind of one way to sort of conceptualize what a data center is actually doing.
That was Jordan Uplinger talking with Colin Sullivan, the VP of Related Digital. Earlier this year, Jordan talked with the mayor of Cheyenne, who said he was excited at the prospect of more data centers taking interest in the state capital. Thank you for listening to Open Spaces. The entire show and all the stories you heard here can be found on our website at wyomingpublicmedia.org. It can also be found wherever you get your podcasts, and we post all our stories on the station's social media platforms. Those include Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, X, and Blue Sky. Thanks to Hannah Haberman, this episode's audio producer, Ivy Engel, our digital producer, and Cody Hume, our social media manager for today's show. Open Spaces is a production of Wyoming Public Radio News.